That's pretty well the theme of our messages around here, the soon coming of Jesus. Praise God. I want to turn this afternoon to the first chapter of Revelation. Revelation 1. Let's go down to verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And I want to enlarge just a little bit. Behold, he cometh. And then we're going to look into the clouds that he cometh with clouds. And so let's just back up to verse 1. I want to see somewhat of an identity of this one that is called He. He cometh. Of course, we know it is indeed Christ, but He is so beautifully identified in these verses, quite extensively. So if you back up to verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him. Now, this is what we must understand here, is that the revelation was given unto Christ Himself. This is what we find here in these verses. And so it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, but God gave Him that revelation. And of course, it reveals God's agenda for Jesus. He was subject to His Father. We read in another place, I do always those things that please Him. And so He came into this world because He would please God. It was something that God, the Father, would have Him do. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, and then you will notice, to show unto His servants. That is, Jesus' servants. He is going to pass that along, which must shortly come to pass. And the shortly coming to pass is a reference to the events of the tribulation and those things which are beyond. Then we read, He, that would be Jesus, sent and signified it by His, that is Jesus, angel, and it was unto His servant John. And so we see the order here, how that God gave this revelation to Jesus as to what He was going to do, what God expected of Him, what God wanted out of Him. Then Jesus passes that along to John, His own servant. And I want to notice in this message that there was a very special relationship between Jesus and John. We read that John was the disciple that Jesus loved. You'll find that in the book of John. And some have said, well, that's just John's opinion, and that's the way he wanted it. No, there really was a very special relationship between Jesus and John, and there are a number of reasons why we say that. It was only John who leaned his head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. This tells us of the intimacy that John had. He had the liberty to do that. He was not reprimanded or rebuffed in any manner for it. It was a special love and relationship between John and Jesus. Jesus committed His mother into the hands of John. Woman, behold thy son, and then John, behold thy mother. Jesus committed His most precious possession here in this earth unto John rather than one of the other disciples. It was John to whom Jesus gave this entire book of Revelation, that is, all of this truth that He committed unto him, and he would tell him that he must write and that he must give all of this to the churches that were there in Asia. So, yes, indeed, there was a special love that Jesus had for John. Special relationship, indeed, that they had. I want to continue here with these, with the identity of Jesus, as we find, first of all, here that God gave him this revelation. That was indeed a part of identifying this He that we are talking about. Then we read in verse 2, who, speaking of John, bore record of the Word of God. This, the Word of God, also identifies Jesus. He is the Word. Furthermore, of the testimony. That's another reference to the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. and of all things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that reads. I want to notice how blessed that, I mean, some people once again have taught that the Revelation is a closed book. You can't understand it and all of this. Not according to what we read here. Blessed is he that reads. We are blessed. We are not kept from this glorious message and this glorious truth that God gave to Jesus and Jesus passed on to John. And so blessed is he that, notice first, he that reads. It is one thing to read. And then sometimes, well, just forget about it, no big deal. But notice further, they that hear. And there are those in our day, we're thankful. We must be among them that we actually do hear the Word of God. And it is important that men have ears to hear this message. And so they that hear the words of this prophecy. Next, those that keep. These are the ones that allow this message indeed to work in there. They keep it unto themselves. They take it in a personal manner, those things. And notice further, which are written therein, here's the purpose, for the time is at hand. And that's exactly what this message announced. The testimony of Jesus announces that the time is at hand. And that time, of course, is the time of his return. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace. And then we find more identifying marks of who he actually is. It is from him, number one, which is. Number two, which was. Number three, which is to come. And then it is from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now, this seven spirits, there is only one Holy Ghost. It is referred to as the seven spirits. It really means the sevenfold spirit, figuring the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was anointed with that spirit, that sevenfold spirit. He was filled with that Spirit of God. And so this is indeed marking this as being from Jesus himself, because he was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost here which are before the throne. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ. This is some more of that which is going to identify who he is. And this is from Jesus Christ. The word Christ means anointed. And he was indeed God's anointed. And he's set apart for a certain purpose, for a certain job and accomplishment which God had in mind. And so it's from Jesus Christ, that is Jesus the anointed. Further, he is the faithful witness. And indeed, he is that faithful witness that I think we, in one there in the book of Revelation, he is called faithful. It means that his name would be faithful. And that's absolutely right. So he is the faithful witness. Number two, the first begotten from the dead. And that means that the resurrection of Jesus, that was first, but it was the guarantee that others would also be raised up from the dead, of which we also are a part, both spiritually and naturally. We've been raised out of our sins, but there is also that glorious resurrection, a bodily resurrection, to appear in glory with him. And so he is the first begotten of the dead. Then he is the prince of the kings of the earth. And of course, that's absolutely right, because he will be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Unto him, that is Christ. And here is some more identifying marks of this wonderful Christ. Number one, he loved us. He proved that by coming into this world in obedience to his Father's will and dying there on the cross for all humanity. So it's the Christ that loved us. Number two, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that's the only thing that could wash away our sins. They had all of those bulls and goats down through the years, and that sufficed for a while, but all of that just pointed to Christ. None of them could take away the sins of humanity. They couldn't remove the conscience of sin, that is, man's sin, as we read in other places. And so we have been washed from our sins because of his own blood. Only the blood of Christ was able to accomplish that. And so this is a part of Jesus' identity. Then we find in verse 6, he's made us kings and priests unto God and to him. And indeed, we find out that he has given us that opportunity. Now, all men are not going to take that, but I say again, the opportunity is there. He has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, further to him, that is, to Christ. He is the one worthy of all of this glory, and as we had in the message this morning, dominion. That dominion is coming, a complete, total, universal dominion that will be given into the hand of Jesus when he becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to be anointed there in Revelation 4 and 5. Find that crown is placed upon his head. It's a crown of dominion, and it is forever and ever. It's an eternal dominion that God has given. And then notice, if you'll jump down to verse 8, is one more point of Jesus' identity. The one we're describing here, the one who is defined as he. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. And he adds, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. That means this is Christ as God. And that place has been given unto him. So when we read here in verse 7, behold he, all of these wonderful verses define exactly who he is. And it is a wide range of things that are true of Christ and identify him. Then we come to the second part of this message. As we read, behold he cometh with clouds. And these clouds are beautifully identified. One expression is in Hebrews 12. You don't need to turn there. But Hebrews 12:1 says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, when he says here, seeing that we're compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses, you'll find that there in Hebrews, where it gives that great list of those worthies of faith who walked by faith. And they are recorded individually in many cases there. And some women among them, things of this nature. That's the cloud he's talking about. So when it says here that he comes with clouds, he's not talking about these are just floating around the air out there. They are people. And we have the opportunity to be a part of that cloud. I want to notice what actually identified this cloud of witnesses. And there are three specific things that identified them as such a witness and being in such a cloud. He says, we are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Let us, number one, lay aside every weight. If we want to be a part of that cloud, we also must lay aside every weight of the flesh, because that's exactly what this means. Lay aside every weight. Number two, and the sin. The sin we're talking about is the sin of unbelief. This is what keeps man from God. This is what is so detrimental and diametrically opposed to the life of faith, is unbelief. And so we are exhorted to If we're going to be a part of this cloud, then we must indeed lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. And then number three, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, Jesus had his race to run. That was going to the cross for us. But God has also set a race before us. And of course, that race really is to win Christ himself. This is what our real objective is to win Christ as bridegroom. Paul talked about preaching to others and yet himself being disapproved. We don't want such a thing to happen in our lives. And so we also must purpose and give every ounce of our being, so to speak, to running this race in order that we too might win Christ. And then we come to this part, which is very important for us to understand here. We read that he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. This tells us of the timing here. This tells us that this is not a reference to the time when Jesus is going to come secretly. Whenever we find that we will be caught unawares, as some will be, when Christ comes for his bride. When Jesus comes for the bride of Christ, there will be many who are completely oblivious to that and won't even realize that they're taken out until they're already gone. He describes it as coming as a thief. That day does not overtake you as a thief. And so when Jesus comes for the bride of Christ, he will come as a thief, and many, many, many Christians will be unaware that he is here. This happens at a later date. This happens after the bride of Christ is already in heaven, and she is a part of the cloud that is appearing at this point. Notice what it says of him. Every eye shall see him. There is nothing here expressing anything even resembling that which was be as a thief or an unknown. Every eye shall see him when he comes at this time. This is coming just right there before he, or as he takes his place to enter his 1,000-year millennium. And so every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. And of course, that is especially a reference to the Jews, because they are the ones that delivered Jesus up to be pierced. And Jesus really said that they are the responsible one, even more than what the Romans are. They carried it out, but it was at the consent of the Jews. And so they also which pierced him, all kindreds of the earth. This refers to all men, all nations. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And so because they will finally see who he is and exactly what he has done. And then we read, even so, amen. That despite all of this, as bad as some of it sounds, amen to it. It must be completed. It must be brought forth. And so we find in our lives today, we must be a part of that cloud. And to repeat, three different requirements here. And we will close with this. Lay aside every weight, that is of the flesh. Lay aside the sin, that's the unbelief. And then with every fiber of our being, run with patience the race that God has set before us. All right, those are my few thoughts this afternoon. Let's go ahead and sing a closing song, since we have an instrumentalist here who seems to know what he is doing. And he won't be with us for too much longer, so we'll just make use of him while he's here.
Let's do number 226.
Well, that's a good note to end on. Run for the prize. Brother Graham, would you dismiss us, please?
Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you.